a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
So I just looked up and saw healthcare rates under Obamacare in some places could jump another 30-35% this year. Stunning to me. Stunning to me that these prices continue to skyrocket out of control. And despite all of that and the money being dumped in and the arguments over Obamacare and replacement and repeal and all of that stuff, it's those in rural areas that continue to be hit hardest. Since Obamacare went into place, scores of rural hospitals have closed their doors altogether. And if this continues, more likely to follow suit. Chris Pope, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, joining me to talk more about it. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to speak with you.
Seems that rural health insurance markets are teetering on the brink of collapse in many areas. And for me here, I think of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, 350,000 people and a large piece of real estate. You've got to drive a long way, and in order to keep health care up there, it's expensive. What are the problems we're facing?
Well, I think on the one hand, you have the insurance market, which has had problems that are really distinct and, as you said, really tied to the Affordable Care Act. But we also have every insurer essentially has to pay for hospital care. And in a lot of places, especially in rural areas, there's only one hospital to choose from, and it tries to do everything. It tries to do inpatient care, it tries to do outpatient care, it tries to do emergency care, a whole range of diagnostic services, and they're stretched pretty thin. The volumes are pretty low. They don't have the patient turnover. They don't have the workforce they need to cater to everybody, and it means that a lot of hospitals are in huge economic difficulty, and that gets passed on to insurers, and it gets passed on to consumers at the end of the day.
Isn't that part of the price, though? I noticed that one of the quotes here in the article that I'm looking at, only 24% of rural residents can reach a top trauma center within an hour, and that's why those that live in rural areas suffer 60% of America's trauma deaths, despite having only 20% of the nation's population. But isn't that part of the, you know, you don't want to be in traffic, you want to be out in the middle of nowhere, you want to, you know, have a ranch or a farm or a cabin up north, as they say. Isn't that part of the price you pay?
Yeah, absolutely. Part of this is intrinsic to the nature of rural areas. Is you're just going to be further away from a fully equipped facility. But then part of it's sort of an artificial problem. It would make a lot of sense for us. We spend $2 billion a year just special subsidies for rural hospitals. But we don't really spend the money well. We don't do what we should be doing, which is to really focus the money on emergency care. Instead, we just subsidize inpatient care, which people could really receive, we would be able to travel to receive. So we need to be better at prioritizing the money.
It often comes back to money, but this brings me back to what is the government's role in all of this? Because I think the government is overstepping, and you get into the single-payer system and everything else, and what will happen is, these rural areas will siphon more of the money, more of the resources than is appropriate for their population, and that creates other problems down the road, does it not?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think the problem that we've kind of run into is once you start pulling all the money together, rather than sort of having ultimately accountable to people spending it on their own behalf and people purchasing insurance that affects their own needs, the money just gets lost in a pool. And there's no real accountability as to where the money is best used.
So how do we, how do we improve that?
Well, I think in the short run, there's an issue that's very much about how we help rural hospitals. Like currently, we spend $2 billion a year just in subsidies to keep these hospitals open. But we're not doing it in a smart way. And this is really just a distinct and isolated issue, that if we just allocated these funds to emergency departments and made sure that there was a standalone emergency department everywhere, the money would go a lot further, and we'd be able to make sure that people have available locally what they actually really need to have available locally, and then if people need to travel for elective surgery, they could do that at the place where it's cheapest or at the place where it's actually much higher quality. Because if you have a hospital where you have a 30-35% occupancy rate, physicians are idle most of the time, the equipment's idle most of the time, that just drives up costs, and that ends up just inflating costs for, in fact, people in rural areas more than anyone else.
So if we were able to design a better system for the subsidies, they would flow better, flow smarter. You think that would improve care and efficiency?
Yeah, it's not very often in healthcare that you sort of have a small, discrete issue that you can just fix by itself. Often everything's tangled up with everything else. But I think the issue of rural hospitals and how we pay for rural hospitals, how federal government supports them, that actually is a pretty distinct and isolated issue that we should be able to fix by itself.
Well, I would hope so, but I think that what happens is politicians fritter away their time and they get focused on other things. And before you know it, it continues. 208 rural hospitals closed in the 90s. They continue to close now. Hundreds more could close because of this, well, the financial pressure. They can't keep their doors open, right or wrong.
Yeah, no, I think that is definitely the challenge that we face. But I think the fact that the current system isn't really working for anybody that well, it doesn't even really work for the hospitals that much, get the way that they're paid currently, that actually sort of makes the politics of fixing things a little bit easier. Well, what's been the drag for so long has been the fact that you have some winners out of the current system. You have some people who are doing well out of the status quo. I think that we're actually getting past that point, and that the system for supporting rural hospitals has kind of reached the point where everyone is going to agree that there's going to need some kind of reform, and that really creates an opportunity to make things better.
Well, I hope you're right about that, because for our folks that live far from the beaten path and far from downtown, like I prefer to live, I hope that there's a way to come to a positive outcome. Chris Pope, good conversation. Senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, thank you for stopping in today.
Thank you. It was great to speak with you.
There you go. It's Thursday here on the program. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Aren't falling, so why is now the time to upgrade your gutters? Because for a limited time, you can get the best price on the ultimate gutter protection system from LeafGuard of Michigan. Your roof will be protected and your gutters will stay clean. Right now, get up to $850 off your LeafGuard purchase, plus a $200 Visa gift card. Don't wait for a clog emergency. Call today to save big on the ultimate debris shedding gutter system from LeafGuard. 517-305-1050. That's 517-305-1050.
Get your free water test today from Wolverine Water Systems. Are you tired of the way your water looks, tastes, or smells? With decades of experience, Wolverine Water can manage your situation no matter what the problem. And every single Wolverine Water System is made right here in Michigan because we're locally owned and operated. Wolverine offers a variety of systems to guarantee we meet your water needs. Get your free water test today from Wolverine Water by logging on to WolverineWaterSystems.com. WolverineWaterSystems.com.